Thank you very much, Diana, for leading us in those intercessions this morning. Thank you. So, this morning we are beginning a new sermon series. I'm moving the microphone. Am I going to get told off? No? Oh, I've been risky there. I've moved. Sorry. We're going to start a new sermon series, which is entitled At the Foot of the Cross. At the Foot of the Cross. And yes, I know it's early. It's not Easter, but it's great to be focusing on the cross. No matter what time of the year, the cross of Jesus Christ is our backbone to our faith. Jesus, Lord and Saviour. Amen. Hallelujah. So the sermon's message is the enduring symbol. And I'm going to kick it off with just a few reflections on the cross. The enduring symbol. Turn with me if you have your Bibles. There's no specific Bible verse for this morning, but I thought it's good to have some Bible verses. It's good to actually open our Bibles and to engage with Scripture. So the first one, I'm just going to turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38. Matthew 10, verse 38. I might read a couple more verses, but and we read, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me on the narrow road, then you are not worthy of me. To find your life, you must lose your life. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And then Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. But I'm going to carry on a little bit further. But think about this. While we were wasting our lives in sin, God revealed his powerful love to us in a tangible display. The Anointed One died for us. As a result, the blood of Jesus has made us right with God now. And certainly we will be rescued by him from God's wrath in the future. If we were in the heat of combat with God when his son reconciled us by laying down his life, then how much more will we be saved by Jesus' resurrection life? In fact, we now stand reconciled and at peace with God. That's why we're celebrating God through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, that we can once again turn to you this morning together, gathered together to receive from you, to give you glory, adoration, praise, honor. And as we read from Scripture, as we continue in our worship with one another, may you truly be the focus of our hearts, focus of our mind, just our very being. May we surrender afresh to you. May your words permeate through, whether we're here physically in this room, in this church together, or at home, or listening on a future time. May you lead us and guide us. May you draw us closer to you. May our hearts be open to the wonders and majesty of your rule and reign, your kingdom's purposes for each and every one of us. We ask in your name, Jesus. Amen. Sorry, I'll stop moving. I'm moving that. Okay, so today we turn our hearts and minds to a symbol that has shaped history, inspired countless acts of faith, and continues to resonate deeply within our very souls. The cross. It stands before us not merely as an object. We have a cross over here on the wall for those who can't see or haven't noticed it before. We have a cross over there, so I might be doing this with my hands because that's referencing that cross there. It stands before us not merely as an object, but as a profound representation of sacrifice, redemption, and the enduring love of God. That's not bad, is it, really? Amen. That's it. Right, should we get the kids back? Can you imagine? That kind of is all we need to know. Okay, I am clicking, but nothing's working. Do you like my artwork there? It's drawn really well. So the cross, in its simplest form, is the intersection of two lines, as we so wonderfully demonstrated with the way and whoa, the up and the across. The vertical beam, that's a horizontal beam, that's a vertical beam reaching towards heaven, symbolizes our connection to the divine, our yearning for something greater than ourselves. I think really in our very DNA as human beings, there is this something that knows that there is something much greater. No matter how we might word that or seek something, there is that core, maybe there's something more. That horizontal beam represents that stretching across the earth, a human experience, our connection to one another, and the breadth of God's love encompassing all creation. And then where these two lines meet, there's that sense of grace and love. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of Jesus. He died for each and every one of us. Wow. And then we can, from heaven's perspective, love those who need Jesus. This morning, what I'm going to do is much more, perhaps a brief introduction to the cross from a historical perspective. This isn't a vast, massive deep dive, because that would take quite a while. This is more just an introduction. I don't know if any of you have ever thought about what is the symbolism of the cross before. We know in our Christian tradition, yes, it's Jesus dying on the cross, rising again victorious, defeating hell, defeating sin, that ultimate sacrifice so we can have life when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Yeah, absolutely. But perhaps some of the ancient symbolism is good to have some context. Always good to have context. What is a cross? What is the historical kind of journey with the cross, the symbolism? Does anybody know what that particular cross is? Oh yeah, I can hear it. So, that's really small. The Ankh, how do you pronounce that? Ankh, the Ankh. So in ancient Egypt, the Ankh, a cross with a loop at the top, symbolized life and was associated with deities. This is pre-Christian, pre-Jesus. Hang on, pre-Jesus. God was there before. Oh, let's not go there. Okay, you know what I mean. Anybody know what that? There you go. That's the Greek letter tau, T. That was used as a symbol in some ancient cultures and bore resemblance to the cross. And then probably the cross that we recognize or can resonate most with is that Roman cross. Now, on the Roman cross, how many people have got a cross chain, or there's a couple, or a cross you hold in your hands? It often comes out at Easter. But do you know that before Christianity, the cross was primarily known as a brutal instrument of crucifixion. Like brutal instrument of execution. And as some of you may well know, crucifixion was a common form of punishment in the Roman Empire. Often reserved for slaves, criminals, and those considered enemies of the state. It was a public and agonizing form of death. So I remember one of my college tutors said to me, well, to us, not just me, to us as a group, hey, how many people have got a cross, that wearing a cross? Did you know that for some people, that is a symbol of extreme persecution and agony? Like, wow, haven't even recognized or associated that before. Interesting. In the earliest days of Christianity, the cross was not immediately embraced as the primary symbol because of its association with the painful and shameful death of Jesus. Early Christians were hesitant to prominently display it. They sometimes used other symbols like the fish, the ichthus, to represent their faith. Over time, the cross began to take on a new meaning for Christians. It was transformed from a symbol of suffering and shame to a symbol of redemption and hope. It was transformed from a symbol of suffering and shame to a symbol of redemption and hope. Okay, albeit the shift was gradual, but it was crucial in shaping the Christian understanding of the cross. So early depictions of the cross in some artwork. When the cross was shown, it was often a simple, unadorned cross, symbolizing Christ's victory over death rather than his suffering. Over time, particularly in the medieval period, the emphasis shifted towards the suffering of Christ on the cross. So crucifixes, which depict Jesus' body on the cross, became more common. We see that today. Some crosses, like ours here, hasn't got Jesus hanging on the cross. It's an empty cross. For some Christians, Jesus is still on the cross. Some people will say, well, we haven't got Jesus shown on the cross, dying on the cross, because we believe he died and was resurrected. He's no longer suffering on the cross. He defeated sin, rose victorious. But over history, historical context, the focus on suffering was intended to evoke empathy and remind believers of the sacrifice Jesus made for humanity. So some people here might have a cross with Jesus still on the cross. For others, we may resonate more with a cross with Jesus not on the cross. Again, just a reminder that historically the cross was an instrument of brutal execution. It was a symbol of suffering, shame, and death. For those condemned to crucifixion, it represented the ultimate form of rejection and agony. Rejection and agony. Yet, it is precisely this image of suffering that Christians have embraced, transforming it into a symbol of hope and salvation. Hope and salvation. My son joked to me yesterday, I think half expecting it to be a little bit of a diss. Oh yeah, Dad, you're going to talk about different materials of the cross. I went, I am. And it kind of shut him up. It's like, yay. So sometimes there are different materials of the cross. Wood, stone, and metal seem to be the main materials used. Did you know that each carry its own symbolic weight? I had no idea. The wooden cross, perhaps the most common image, evokes the earthly human nature of Christ. It reminds us of his humble birth, his simple life, and his physical suffering. A stone cross, on the other hand, may empathize, that's it, the enduring nature of God's love. So a stone cross, the enduring nature of God's love, its unshakable foundation. Oh. And then the metal cross. Metal, not the music metal, but the material metal. Gleaming and strong, perhaps can symbolize the power of faith and the triumph of the Spirit. Essentially, the cross is not a static symbol. It's not a static symbol. It is a dynamic one, constantly inviting us to deeper reflection. It challenges us to examine our own lives, to consider where we stand in relation to God and to our fellow human beings. Do perhaps prioritize the vertical dimension, focusing on our spiritual growth and our relationship with God. Great, we should be doing that as disciples of Jesus Christ. Or do we prioritize the horizontal, engaging with the world around us, serving others, and working for justice? Brilliant. That's good. Should be. But perhaps, may I suggest, the cross reminds us of both dimensions. Both dimensions. Because both dimensions are essential. That true faith involves both a vertical reaching towards Jesus, towards God, and then a horizontal reaching out towards our neighbours. And then in that middle is that grace, love, mercy, our identity, our very core of who we are. The cross also speaks to the paradox of faith. As we've talked about, it is a symbol of both suffering and triumph, of death and resurrection. It reminds us that true life comes through sacrifice, that joy often emerges from sorrow, and that hope can blossom even in the darkest of times. I'm just going to say that again. This paradox of faith, this tension of being in the world but not of the world. The cross is a symbol of both suffering and yet triumph, of death and resurrection. It reminds us that true life comes through sacrifice. You know, the road of discipleship on a narrow path, rolling up our sleeves, journeying, saying no to those sins, deciding and making the choice to say, I'm not going there again. I don't want to return to that metaphorical vomit. That sacrifice of going, I don't want to be of the world. And that joy often emerges from sorrow, There's a song, I've traded my sorrows, is it? Sickness? I can't remember. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. And he turned my mourning into dancing. Mourning into dancing. I've often gone, I don't want to be joyful right now. I want to stay in my mournful attitude, my monginess. Woe is me. But actually, sorrow is deeper. Sorrow is a heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching, sorrowful posture of heart through loss of loved ones, through loss of physical abilities, through insert any situation. But through the mystery of faith, we can know that joy even in sorrow. And that hope can blossom, even in the darkest of times. So as we contemplate the cross, let us remember that it's not simply a symbol of what happened in the past, but a living reminder of God's ongoing love and presence in our lives. It is an invitation to embrace the paradox of faith, to find strength in our weakness, and to discover the transformative power of grace. That transformative power of grace. It's a symbol that continues to inspire, challenge, and evoke deep emotions for believers all around the world. It has been a source of comfort in times of sorrow, a beacon of hope in moments of despair, and a reminder of the unwavering love of God. So as we look upon the cross today, let us remember the profound significance it holds. Let it be a reminder of the sacrifice made for us, the hope offered to us, and the call to live lives of humility, service, and love. Let us carry the cross in our hearts, not as a burden, but as a symbol of our faith, our hope, and our eternal salvation. Amen. Let us pray and respond through some sung worship. Again, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are our Lord and Saviour. Thank you that through that sorrow, that pain of accepting the call to the cross that you undertook and you followed through, brought so much healing and joy. Lord Jesus, may we continue to remind ourselves of your saving grace. But help us not just to remind ourselves, but to allow your saving grace to permeate our very hearts, our very souls. And Lord, may we be bold to ask that your grace, your love, your mercy will transform each and every one of us from the inside out. That we would truly know your love, your grace, your mercy. That as we seek you, and then as we recognize the world in which we live in, that vertical and horizontal relationship, that in the middle, somewhere there, is that hope, that enduring, everlasting hope for each and every one of us. Help us to view the cross, the iconography, not as a static symbol, but as a very active, engaging, challenging, and life-transforming narrative that is you, Jesus. Thank you that we can know our Father in heaven through you. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal to us the mysteries, the deep revelations contained within your word, contained within Scripture. May we remember to pause in our daily lives. Help us to shift our perspective, to lift our eyes to you through the lens of the cross, at the foot of the cross. We live for you, Jesus, for your glory, for your plans, for your purposes. To you be all glory, all honor, and all praise and adoration. Amen.